It's Wednesday morning. It's August 6th. Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Today. Scott, hi.
Hi, Adam.
I don't care about you. Al,
hey,
I care
Adam.
About you because I forgot to wish you a happy 25th anniversary on the podcast yesterday. Sincere apologies.
Oh, well, sincerely accepted and not necessary because, you know, we've still been married 25 years. A little longer now. But...
yeah. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
It's quite a milestone. Scott, congratulations on your... fourth anniversary.
Hey,
yeah?
That's the right one. Yeah,
coming up, or it already happened.
Well, it's coming up. Yeah, it's okay. Like 6 months away. But
all right, good stuff.
Technically,
yeah,
still coming up.
Okay, yeah. Party on. let's do some grade the trade today. Talk about Danny Duffy, Gio Gonzalez, Eric Ibar, Jimmy Nelson, Michael Morse, CJ Krohn, the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. They hit 5 home runs last night.
I have a possum follow-up.
Oh,
yeah!
By all means.
Susan Slusser, the A's beat writer,
yeah.
She is now referring to it. I don't know that she actually made this up, but she is now referring to it as the ODOT possum.
Awesome. I think she is the most referenced beat writer on this show. I don't know if she's just
really?
A really good tweeter or she's the A's
good...
have
yeah.
interesting news updates or something, but I feel like if anyone ever gets mentioned, it's like, well, Susan Slusser tweeted this.
Yep, even if it's yeah. possum nicknames.
All right, good. Well, we should get her on the
or
show.
Opossum.
Or
is she like the president of the Writers Association?
She now? Is, or I don't know if her term is up or not, but she was. Maybe still
go.
Is.
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't think she is anymore.
Our email address, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. The only piece of big news I have is that Andrew McCutchen is not on the DL yet. He has a fracture in his left lower rib cage. It's not an oblique strain or anything like that. Does it seem inevitable that he's going to go on the DL?
Yeah, I don't understand why he's not.
Yeah, it was weird.
It sounds like he can barely put ice on it,
and
much less do baseball stuff.
Is it clear at all if this was caused by him getting hit by a pitch?
I mean, it's not 100% clear. He's intimated that it is.
He has?
What a
yeah.
joke.
Oh.
What a joke that was that they threw at him.
Yep.
You know, the Diamondbacks should be ashamed of themselves. Whoever was responsible for that, even if they didn't injure him, that was disgraceful. There was no reason why they would have thrown at Paul Goldschmidt. There was no intent behind that. Stupid. Well, anyway, I've said my piece.
You know, and I mean, and I agree 100%. I have been a little bit surprised at the reaction to it because it seems like this sort of thing happens with some regularity, and I don't recall the
people don't
reaction.
Like the Diamondbacks. They don't like they think
right.
the Diamondbacks are they do this a lot. I read comments. I don't usually do that, but I read comments on the website, and it's like, well, Kirk Gibson. You know, it's enough of this, whatever. So I guess they developed a little bit of a reputation.
Were you reading Greg Doyle's column?
No, I didn't read Greg Doyle's column. I didn't have a chance to. No, just
that's where I was reading the comments.
What were they? What did they say?
Something along those lines. Yeah,
yeah. That's the sense I get.
You know, in a Greg Doyle column, when the comments are about the subject of the Greg Doyle column and not Greg Doyle himself,
yeah,
it's really a problem.
Now, stat of the day. Did you read Dane Perry's story on David Price?
I did not.
It was curious. I love Dane Perry. The guy's hilarious. Knows his baseball. He's one of our Eye on Baseball writers. He's making the case against David Price and saying that I'll get the headline out, which I know he doesn't write, but the gist of the story was that David Price is like very good but not great. Not no more Price of old. Dominant David Price might be a thing of the past. The Tigers' newest ace is solid, if not spectacular, in his first Detroit start, and fans should get used to it. So the point was, lowest ground ball percentage, lowest ground ball fly ball ratio of his career, negative trend line in his ability to induce weak contact. 2014 and last year are the only seasons in which David Price has allowed a line drive percentage of 20 or greater on all 5 of his pitches. So he's going kind of deep into the data.
Yeah. Because, yeah, other than the ground ball rate, I was kind of curious to see where he was going to go with that because that's the only part of his game that where I was aware that there was any kind of drop-off this year.
More fly balls, but not more infield pop-ups. Stuff that I don't usually deal with. But I don't know. Are you guys noticing any negative trend at all with David Price that might be something to look at next year?
The ground ball rate was the only one, and I'm not concerned about it because it seems like he has zigzagged on that, and a lot of pitchers do. Matt Garza comes to mind. I don't know if he's a ground ball pitcher or a fly ball, but Zach Greinke has had a lot of fluctuation in that rate. So pitchers, you know, make adjustments and change what they, you know, what they're throwing and how they're throwing it. And all I know about David Price is just that, you know, very consistently he puts up great numbers and usually great peripherals, if not across the board, certainly, you know, far enough across the board to sustain what he does.
And I was looking at Johnny Cueto, who threw a complete game yesterday and has the best strikeout rate of his career. And it's kind of out of nowhere. He's just striking everybody out. And then last year I saw Bud Norris, because he started yesterday too, so I saw his strikeout rate last year was off the charts. And so was his walk rate, and his whip was terrible and whatnot. But, you know, does that happen? Like, how do you guys explain Johnny Cueto's strikeout season?
Yeah, I don't have a good explanation for that.
Does just that like happen? Does the guy just have 1 year?
Jared Weaver. I think he's the classic example.
But I don't know that it is a one-year thing with Cueto. That it could be. That remains to be seen. There have been pitchers, too, who have gone from being not such great strikeout pitchers to great strikeout pitchers. Like, I'm not 100% sure of this, but I think Cliff Lee kind of falls into that category. I think Roy Halladay, or just, maybe he went the other way.
You just nandoed that.
Yeah. Basically Phillies pitchers.
Yeah. And Cueto's always had good stuff. It didn't make sense that he didn't strike out more batters.
Let's see. Roy Halladay was consistently 6-something per 9 for most of his Blue Jays career. Until the very end, he became about 8 per 9.
And Cliff Lee as well.
Yeah.
Cliff Lee picked it up. All right. Well, let's move on. We got a lot to talk about. Tweet of the day number one is from Heath082, and he just says succinctly, Gio Gonzalez is a bum.
Well, I disagree with that.
I do, too.
Let me tell you about Gio Gonzalez last night. 6 innings, 6 hits, 4 runs, 2 walks, 6 strikeouts. It was 6-plus innings. He started the 7th inning with having allowed only 2 runs, gave up a walk and an infield single, and then Drew Storen came in and allowed the inherited runners to score.
That's the bum.
Yeah, I guess so. But he has been kind of bad last year, last like 4-ish starts, and he's got an ERA at 4.01 right now. So, thoughts?
Yeah, I think we're kind of assessing him. He's kind of an up and down pitcher, and we're assessing him in the middle or hopefully at the end of a down stretch for him. He's not the pitcher he was 2 years ago, and I don't know that we should expect him to be, but the previous years with the A's and last year, he's still a guy you start every week, and I still treat him as such even now.
Is he going to get hotter than Jamaica in August?
Probably not.
Nah.
Okay.
Maybe hotter than Jamaica in January.
Ah, yeah.
Maybe.
Hopefully. I don't know what the weather would be.
It'd probably pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty nice.
Yeah, maybe like the 80s. Tweet of the day number 2 is from Leon Phelps. Anybody ever say that Dave Richard and Al Melchior sound exactly the same on the podcast?
People, at least one person has said that before.
Other than Leon?
I think so. I mean, I don't have to go back to Twitter like 6 months ago. Somebody else said that.
The biggest similarity between two CBSSports.com on-air personalities is me and Scott.
I agree with that.
Really?
Yeah.
I tell you what, because I agree. I don't hear the difference or the similarity with me and Dave. And I wish I had Dave's laugh.
Oh, right.
Dave has the best.
Yes. You nailed it.
But when I...
There's like no like pattern to it. It's just up and down and up.
It's like an electric cardio.
Yeah.
Oh, that was amazing. You might have to come on the football podcast today and do that.
But don't you think I sound like, or maybe he sounds like me, I sound like Nathan Zagura?
No.
Because I would hear Nathan on a video or a podcast, and I would think, what am I doing on a football podcast?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. I confused myself.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Leon. That was fun. Tuesday standouts. I'll go first since we know what happens when I ask you guys to go first. Bryce Harper has 1 extra base hit since July 20th. He went 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts. Anybody getting worried about him? Bryce Harper slugging .359 this year. Gross.
Yeah. I mean, I'm worried to the extent that in a 3-outfielder league, I'd probably be sitting him right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
I can get on board with that.
All right, next up, me or you? Who wants to go?
Oh, sure. Me. Yeah, I want to talk about Brad Hand.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Because he was good again. Again!
Yeah.
For the, I think it's sixth start in a row. Sixth or seventh.
Last four starts, I got him with a 2.28 ERA. I didn't know it was six. But either way.
I think so. Or maybe there was one in there, but I... Yeah, I mean, there's a clear trend for about the past month, maybe a little longer.
And you haven't made a pun yet.
Not right now. I wrote a blog post on 2 days ago where I did write the title, unlike Dane Perry.
Uh-huh.
And I said, should we stop sliding Brad Hand? And then I was telling Scott this yesterday, as I was reading it back and proofing it and editing it, and I had something like, you know, Hand has compiled a 2-point-something ERA over the last month, and just... instinctively, without even thinking about it, I overwrote, compiled, and put crafted, just handcrafted.
Oh, nice.
You know, so just instinctively, I just can't leave that alone.
All right, well, what kind of value do you think he has? He's owned in 17% of leagues, Brad Hand.
Well, what I did write in the post, and I'm sticking with it, is if he gets through this two-start week and he's halfway there doing what he's done before with he's started throwing a sinker all of a sudden, and it's really good. And I got a ton of ground ball outs again last night. And unfortunately, I'm trying to think. Oh, it's the Reds. He's got the Reds next. So, yeah, particularly at Great American Ballpark, if he can escape that start with 2-3 earned runs, 6-7 innings, I'm on board in deeper mixed leagues and maybe even standard ones in future two-start weeks, because you really can't find anything to fault over the past month, aside from the fact that he doesn't strike guys out. But there's a lot of pitchers that are like that you can trust in a two-start week.
Jimmy Nelson, guys, 43% owned. Is he under-owned?
Oh, yeah.
Very.
Oh, yeah, Jimmy Nelson.
I do him a disservice every time I talk about, like, Gausman and Salazar, those guys who are owned in around 55, 60% of leagues, or maybe it was like 65, 70% of leagues, actually. Nelson owned in 43% of leagues and probably should be in that discussion, right?
I would certainly put him ahead of Gausman and maybe with this start ahead of Salazar too, because we're talking about a small sample, but there's been better consistency from Nelson, I feel like, than we've seen from Salazar in a much larger sample. And I'm willing to invest in that now from a guy who gets strikeouts at a pretty decent rate, and keeps the ball on the ground. Kind of the best of both worlds there.
Like, the fact that Mark Burley is owned in twice as many leagues as Jimmy Nelson.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's...
People are probably giving up at this point, I'm sure, in a lot of cases, but that needs to change. How about Danny Duffy or Jimmy Nelson? Danny Duffy, since June 2nd, when he made his first start of June, number 25 pitcher in points leagues, number 15 in Roto. And he's got an ERA under 2 and a 1.03 whip in that stretch. And the strikeouts are getting a little bit better lately. Duffy struck out 7 Diamondbacks last night. And the Diamondbacks have a terrible lineup without Goldschmidt. But he's pitching really well.
He's been just Ducky. Yeah. And this is kind of an interesting start, because you're right, the Diamondbacks haven't been good. But actually, as an offense, and this has been mostly this year without Mark Trumbo, they've been sort of middle of the pack.
Okay, but Goldschmidt is gone.
And Goldschmidt is gone, okay. But the park worries me for Duffy with the fly ball rate. And, yeah, he survived quite nicely.
75% owned. So Duffy or Nelson, first of all?
Nelson.
See, that's closer to me. I think I actually do take Duffy, but they're in the same category.
By the way, this Nelson, that was his fifth start. So job one is doing the podcast. Yeah. Job two is getting in the SP rankings.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, it's eligible there now. Yep. Not RP only.
How about Danny Duffy or
DeGrom?
Okay. Yeah, sure.
DeGrom.
Yes.
Would you drop Matt Garza for Duffy now that Garza's on the DL?
I would have anyway.
And yeah, drop for Nelson.
Me too.
Okay. I think we'll come up with some more names later on in the show. Javier Baez, thoughts on his debut? 1-for-6 with 3 strikeouts, but a game-winning home run in extra innings at Colorado.
Yeah, that about sums it up. not the at Colorado part, but a home run and 3 strikeouts.
Yeah, 75% owned.
I moved him because I was more than a week overdue updating my rankings. I haven't been off last week, so it was a task. But I moved Baez up. I worked on my shortstop rankings, and Baez came out 11th.
I've got him right. I think I've got him 11th or 12th.
Yeah,
so I'm in the same.
Yeah, I noticed you did, and that was, you know, I did it without looking at yours or anything. It just came out the same spot there. So you're talking about, in a standard 12-team league, middle infield spot or not, somebody who I'm saying deserves not only to be owned, but probably started right from the get-go here. And it may backfire. He may go the John Singleton route. But in those one shortstop leagues where there'd be any debate about picking him up, those Johnny Peralta, J.J. Hardy types are still going to be available if he does bomb. So
sure,
yep.
I mean, he could be what puts your team over the top. The ups. I don't think I'm overstating it saying that.
I completely agree with all that, and I know not really fantasy relevant, but has there ever been a bigger shortstop, a guy who's played shortstop? I mean,
is he bigger than Alex Rodriguez?
I think he is.
Yeah, I saw one at bat yesterday. He's a pretty big guy.
Yeah, and swings very hard, which you would imagine from looking at the stats.
How about Kenneth Vargas, 14% owned, and 1-for-4 with a 3-run homer last night for the Twins. He's been playing some first base, 18 at bats, 333 with a home run, 7 RBI, no walks, 6 strikeouts.
I'm really interested in him because the reason he's 14% owned, and I don't know how much you talked about him when he got called up. I wasn't here. Probably
bit.
Not much. I mean, pretty under-the-radar prospect who put up good numbers in the minors. And I feel like the reason he was under the radar is because he's big and he's slow and he's not agile and he probably is stuck playing DH for most of his career. But as long as he plays, and if he has the hitting part down, that's all fantasy owners care about. There's been a lot of comparisons to David Ortiz. He works with David Ortiz a lot. He idolized him and kind of modeled his game after him. And the Twins obviously have experience not playing David Ortiz and, in fact, letting him go. So because it's such a natural comparison, I feel like they're going to give him every chance. And there's a lot of power potential there.
Yeah, I don't worry about the playing time. I don't worry about the power. Well, yeah, I don't worry too much about the power. But just coming straight up from Double A, I do wonder how much overall production there's going to be. That said, I too am interested in him and have already picked him up in deeper mixed leagues. And yeah, maybe there's some 12-team roto mixed league appeal there.
So if you were in a league where you own like Nick Swisher, would you make that move?
Yeah, I would.
For Kenneth Vargas?
I would.
You know, I don't know that I would. I guess if Swisher was just a bench player and I'd take the shot on the upside.
Right.
But in an AL-only league, that's not – in an AL-only league, that's really where I'd be looking to pick up Vargas, but that's not the guy I'd look to drop for him, if that
okay.
makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Injuries, news – oh, I'm sorry. More standouts from you guys? Anything else? Or do you want to move on?
Well, what about Colby Lewis?
Yeah, he's another guy. He's in the Brad Hand ownership territory, and Colby Lewis – you take away his 11 earned run start, and he's been really good over his last 6. So, and he's got 91 strikeouts and 111 in a third innings pitch. He's 12% owned.
Yeah, it was really that one start kind of overshadowing the turnaround that's happened for him. And for all the injuries and surgeries he's had to overcome, the stuff is about what it was. The arsenal isn't exactly the same. Doesn't use a slider as much, but if the strikeouts are beginning to pick up here, I think that's a good sign, and definitely probably on the bottom end of all the pitchers we've talked about on this podcast so far, but
yeah.
he deserves to be talked about again. Yeah,
yeah. No, if he's back to where he was before, I mean, that's a guy that you wanted to start if he was in a good ballpark.
Would you guys rather own him or Brandon Workman?
At this point, I think I would rather have Lewis.
Yeah, I think so, too.
But what about Ruby De La Rosa?
No, definitely
not striking anyone out.
Yeah, I'd still rather have Ruby, though.
Yeah, I would, too. And I want to congratulate you, because I think it was you that said that you had started getting on the Max Venable. I always
Will
do that.
Venable.
Will Venable.
Yeah, but where are the steals? That's the weird thing. It's like that's the one thing you could rely on him for. It's like 4 or 5 straight years with 20 steals. He's starting to hit a little bit now, but he's not stealing any bases. I don't know. But yeah, no.
But no, he's becoming relevant again, which is good to see. And important note here, Jake Buchanan pitched in long relief last night for the Astros, ruling out the possibility of the Buchanan versus Buchanan matchup today because the Phillies named David Buchanan as their starter.
Nah, what a shame. So. All right, injuries, news, and notes, part one. Gerrit Cole was roughed up in a rehab start yesterday, and his timeline is uncertain. Any concerns about Gerrit Cole if you're stashing him?
Nah, not amplified because of this start, no.
Shane Victorino will have back surgery. He's out for the season. Meanwhile, Alan Craig is on the DL with... I saw it as a foot injury and an ankle injury. So, but it's that same foot that gave him problems.
Yeah.
So, you know, he could be out a while. Boston called up outfielder Corey Brown. Matt Garza on the DL, oblique strain. Marco Estrada could replace him. Pedro Alvarez on the bereavement list, missed last night's game, could miss up to 2 more games. Coco Crisp returned as the DH. Carlos Gonzalez likely to return from the ankle injury today. Angel Pagan, another Angel Pagan update, could be back today or tomorrow. Joe Mauer could be back early next week. The Nationals think Ryan Zimmerman could return during the regular season. Still probably pretty late, though, so not sure he has much value if you're stashing him. Michael Wacha will begin a throwing program, and the Cardinals think he'll pitch again this season, maybe in about a month, but who knows. And then Al, last night on the Yankees game, I heard Tanaka late September, but yesterday I read late August. So
yeah, well, what you heard was more consistent with what I had read, and unfortunately I don't remember the source now, but you know, look, I think in most situations there's no reason to be hasty and drop them, but again, it's just if somebody puts, I'm trying to think of like a good player who's just, you know, Brandon Moss on waivers, I would make that swap.
Okay. Torii Hunter has a bruised hand. He was hit by a pitch. Starling Marte has returned from his concussion. Brett Anderson likely headed to the DL with a back injury. The most added player in our leagues.
Good. Don't get too attached.
Oh. Andrelton Simmons left yesterday's game with an ankle sprain, and Ramiro Pena replaced him.
He was going to break your heart, Adam.
Brett Anderson?
Yeah.
No, I look, it's probably good for fantasy owners, but it sucks for Brett Anderson.
Oh, yeah.
It's a shame.
Yeah, I forget.
Brett Laurie.
I forget he's a person.
Yeah, I know, right? Brett Laurie left yesterday's game with tightness in his lower back.
That was quick.
We hated on Chris Davis and Brian McCann, with a C, Chris Davis, and they both homered yesterday. And Chris Davis was dropped to 7th in the order. Since the All-Star break, 25 strikeouts in 51 at-bats.
He was striking out a ton before the break, too.
And George Springer could be back today or tomorrow from his quad injury. Is that going to take Jake Marisnik out of the Astros lineup?
I would think so.
Troy Tulowitzki could be back in about a week. He hasn't started baseball activities yet.
Did you notice where Springer's doing his rehab, by the way?
No.
Quad Cities.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Quad injury.
So, you know, he had a, back spasms. He'd probably be at Back Cities.
Yeah. Do you guys remember the Quad City DJ? Quad City DJs?
Mm-hmm. No.
Oh, you do, though. You just don't
know.
Yeah,
you know the song.
Come on, ride that train and ride it. Woo, woo!
Yeah, those DJs.
Oh, yeah, those guys.
Yeah.
Corey Dickerson sat for a left-handed pitcher again. That's discouraging. Even with Carlos Gonzalez out, they're not finding spot for him.
Not against the lefties.
And CJ Crone keeps on sitting. Now, with Dickerson and Crone, do you feel like they'll eventually play their way into close to everyday at-bats? Or do you think the trends will continue?
I think for this year, the trends will continue. Ultimately, I see them both as everyday players, but for this year, I'm not counting on it.
Yeah, I don't feel like they've played their way into these situations.
I do.
Yeah?
Oh. You don't think they've played their way into sitting?
Yeah.
Right. I think they've played their way into justifying being everyday players or close to it. Yeah.
But, you know, these are far from the most perplexing moves made yesterday. How about those Marlins again?
Oh, DFAing Jacob Turner?
What the heck?
They shouldn't make any more trades with the Tigers.
But that's a given. But they've got this 23-year-old pitcher, controllable pitcher, with decent peripherals. Mm-hmm. I don't understand.
But they still could send him to the minors, right?
If he passes through waivers.
I don't think he's going to pass through waivers.
And I don't think he
will. Somebody's going to fix that guy.
Yeah, that was strange. He was part of the Anibal Sanchez deal. He was the prize, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and he was. I forget the examples I saw yesterday, but he was ahead of notable prospects, like in the prospect ranking. He was considered that high end of a prospect at the time.
Very high, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they traded Miguel Cabrera and Dontrell Willis and got back
Cameron Maben Miller, and Andrew.
Cameron Maben.
Yeah.
And they traded Anibal Sanchez, and he was the prize in that deal. And a catcher, too, right?
I'm trying because they.
That catcher that was
Brantley,
supposed to be a big deal,
Brantley.
Right?
Yeah.
Hasn't really worked out for them.
Yeah, they need to stay away from the Tigers.
Their former GM keeps ripping them off. The Yankees have played 16 straight games decided by two or fewer runs. Longest streak since 1975. The only reason I bring it up is I don't know if David Robertson and Dellin Betances are going to have arms affixed to their bodies after this season. And it's starting to remind me a little bit of the Braves a few years ago where the bullpen just collapsed. And they're still pitching well, but it's like it's just getting a little scary. But eventually it's going to have to stop. more names will be revealed as the result of the Biogenesis investigation. I'm sure you guys are very excited about that.
Let's start making guesses.
Yeah, I kind of want to, but you know we can't do that. But I have a guess. I'm going to write it down for you right now.
All right, let's see if it's the guess I have.
Right, let's see if it's the guess I have, too.
It won't be.
Oh, okay.
No, it's not who I think.
I'm going with this guy.
Okay.
And
Not everybody from a certain region.
That's why I'm going with him. Good call.
That's related to my guess, too.
Let's grade the trade. Oh, it's probably going to be another guy from UM, actually. Oh, if it's John Jay, I'm going to
be heartbroken. Just named a name.
No, it can't be him. He would never do something like that. Grade the trade, part one. Ryan in Iowa. And we're doing this a little differently today. I didn't have time to put them in the notes, so I'm just going to read them. And I haven't read them initially yet, so I'm just going through my inbox right now. And here we go. My first look at your emails. Ryan in Iowa is in a 10-team points keeper auction league. The players we want to keep, we keep for what we paid for them. So I'm thinking about trading my $63 Miguel Cabrera for a $10 Jose Abreu. Grade the trade.
I'll give that a B minus.
All right, say it again.
Giving up a $63 Miggy for a $10 Jose Abreu.
For keeper purposes?
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
That's an A.
It's a $260 budget?
I don't know.
I don't think
any
time you trade Miggy, it's
An A. They're eligible at the same position next year. It doesn't even have the third base eligibility.
When there's
$53?
Yeah, that's a huge difference. I think it's a very good deal. I agree. I'll go A.
Wow. Okay.
Tim in Richmond, Virginia is in his 10th year at CBSSports.com. He's in a 12-team head-to-head points league. I give Garrett Richards and A.J. Burnett. I get Freddie Freeman and Danny Salazar. Giving up Richards and Burnett, getting Freeman and Salazar.
I'll give that a D plus. And you know I like Salazar. But
really?
Yeah.
So you like Richards that much more than Freeman now?
I do, yeah.
Okay. I was gonna go C minus and mostly because Richards is his relief pitcher eligibility matters in that format.
Oh, this is a tougher one. Randy in Winnipeg says, "Dear Chaz, Rex, and Pip."
I don't even know.
I have a
Pip.
Guess. I think it might be Airheads. I'll look it up.
I thought it was Great Expectations.
Oh, that's probably a better guess.
No, it's just Pip. I don't think any of the others.
20-team head-to-head category league that keeps 12 players every year. I traded Adrian Gonzalez, Mark Melancon, and Mike Leake for Ben Zobrist and Bryce Harper. Oh, wait. Now he has another trade. So forget that one. Now I'm being offered Brandon Moss, Hyunjin Ryu, and Stroman in a 12-team, in a 12-keeper league, 20 teams, categories, getting Moss, Ryu, and Stroman for Harper.
That's B+.
Shoot, I'm going to go A there also. Moss and Harper themselves, I think I'd take Moss before you even throw in Ryu and Stroman.
You would take Moss over Harper?
Yeah, it
was.
Like, just for the rest of this year.
Yeah.
Oh, is it keeper?
Yeah, it's a keeper loot.
Oh, it's keeper loot. Yeah, that changes things. all right, I still like it, but I'll go B now.
And I'm the high guy.
Yeah.
Chaz, Rex, and Pip. Airheads! Oh!
Good call.
Score one for Ace.
I don't remember Rex in Great Expectations. It may have been a dog or something.
Michael in Oregon says, Dear Aaron, Jeremy, and Ozzy. Oh, that's funny. Aaron, Jeremy, and Ozzy. And he says, I traded Dallas Keuchel, my sixth best pitcher, for Matt Holliday in a categories league.
That's B plus.
A minus.
Keuchel's been really good.
Take my class.
He has been really good, but if that's your number six pitcher, that's a pretty good return.
And Aaron, Jeremy, and Ozzy are for people like me. I don't know, maybe people like Scott. Do you have a brother?
No.
They are the lesser brothers of the Boones, the Giambis, and the Consecos.
Very nice.
So I am certainly the number two son. David is certainly my parents' favorite. Nobody's going to deny that.
Your parents listen to this podcast?
And they don't. How about you? You or your brother? Who's the favorite?
I'm not going to say.
Does he listen to the podcast?
Nah.
Here's one from Rent. I recently traded Lucas Duda and got Nolan Arenado.
You know, we've been talking up Duda a lot the last couple days.
We have.
I don't like it. C minus.
That's my grade, too.
Arenado's been good in his own
right. Nothing against Duda,
lately.
But yeah, very good at third base.
All right, Ian from Toronto, 16-team league with 18 keepers. I trade Miguel Cabrera and Jason Vargas. I get Paul Goldschmidt and Jake Arrieta.
Well,
B minus.
Wait.
Giving up Miggy and Vargas for Goldschmidt and Arrieta.
Is this a keeper league?
Yeah, 18 okay. keepers.
18 keepers. Yeah. Wow. So your whole roster's
so,
kept.
So Vargas,
and it's a
16-team
league with 32-man rosters.
Yeah. The deepest league on that's Earth. That's a good. So you gave it a what?
B minus.
Yeah, you
so
B-.
You like
yes.
it. You like
oh, I
up,
like it. Yeah.
You like giving up Cabrera in that case.
Sure, for Goldschmidt in a big pitcher upgrade? Yes.
I mean, I assume you're done competing for this year. You're out of it. Getting Goldschmidt. I mean,
yeah. Because yeah, right, yeah.
Goldschmidt's out of it. So. If we're assuming that, then I'll give it a B plus.
Do a few more here, and then we'll take a break and come back and finish off with part two. Lee in New Jersey, hey Red, Andy, and Haywood.
That's Shawshank,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think so. 12-team head-to-head points league. Would you trade Cargo and Doolittle for David Price? I have Street, Alex Wood, and Tyson Ross at relief pitcher, so he doesn't really need Doolittle at all.
Yeah.
And I have Kemp, Hayward, Duda, and Bruce in the outfield. So would
I don't
you
care
give
what
up?
You have. I'd do it. I'd do it.
Cargo and Doolittle for Price. Great.
I'd
grade
do it.
It.
A minus.
B plus.
That, to me, says you guys are pretty down on Cargo.
Yes.
Yep. Lowered him in my rankings yesterday. Still ahead of Moss and Harper, but... Not elite level.
All right, grade the trade. Oh, another one from Rents. This is what happens when I don't screen these. We get two from one guy. Giving up Bryce Harper and Brandon Moss, getting Ben Revere and Brett Gardner. I currently lead the league in home runs and RBI, and I need stolen bases.
One more time.
Giving up Harper and Moss, getting Revere and Gardner.
Well, I hope you have a big lead in RBI because... Revere's on pace for 18 of those this season.
How do you know that off the top of your head?
Just happened to look at it yesterday.
That's a stat when you see it. That's going to stick with you.
Yeah.
Even for the need, I don't like it. Best case scenario, I think, is a C-.
I could see doing like Harper for Gardner like straight up if you had a need for steals.
Yep.
Oh, I forgot to mention he also has Billy Hamilton.
Okay.
So now he's got Revere, Hamilton, and Gardner.
That's a D now.
Yeah.
This is not a grade of the trade, but it's a good question here. Oh, he has two questions. The second one I think we're going to have to make happen. Chris says, who will lose the most playing time with Javier Baez being called up? I recently picked up Luis Valbuena to replace Gene Segura in a head-to-head points league. Now I'm worried about Valbuena.
It's good. I don't think Valbuena is somebody in the outfield.
I hope it's not Coughlin.
Well, he sat yesterday against a lefty. So I don't think it's going to be anybody of impact. I think it's going to be some combination of Ruggiano, Lake, and Shireholz.
Okay.
They're all going to lose some playing time, but that's...
But wait, why is that? Because Alcantara is just going to play the outfield now?
And... Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. And P.S., can we ever expect to hear a show where Adam, Scott, Al, and Herc are all together?
We haven't done that,
Let's
huh?
make that happen.
Yeah.
Let's make that happen. Okay, next up, we got the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. 5 home runs for the Rangers last night at the Cell, Chicago's what? Ballpark.
Oh.
That's what they call it, right?
That is what they call it.
Really?
Yeah, yep. U.S. Cellular.
Oh.
Shin-Soo Choo went 2-for-4 with a double and a home run. I came this close, and my fingers are pretty close together, to dropping him in a 12-team head-to-head points league. The only reason I didn't is because I'm out of contention, and I would have felt bad giving Choo to a contender. So I didn't do it. But Choo homered and doubled. Adrian Beltre homered. J.P. Arencibia, 3-for-5 with a double, a home run, and 4 RBI as the DH. 20% owned, and since his call-up, he is the number 3 catcher in points leagues, number 2 in Roto. Chirinos went 3-for-5 with 2 homers, but Giovanni Soto's coming back soon, and Adam Rosales and Daniel Robertson had good games at first base and center field.
Yep, it's the Cell. It's John Danks. None of this is trustworthy.
Okay, but again, Scott, I'm happy to argue with you. That the Arencibia thing, I know he's, if he weren't getting everyday at-bats, and maybe he won't with this Mike Karp thing and whatever, if he weren't getting everyday at-bats, his batting average is so bad, but he's running into a lot of home runs right now.
Yeah.
And it's 2 weeks of him being a top 3 catcher.
I mean... I like Chirinos better, assuming he keeps playing, which
but he probably
may
won't,
not.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. Probably
and Arencibia, by the way, 4 walks, 20 strikeouts in this little hot streak.
Right. I think at the end you'll be disappointed with what he gives you.
Shin-Soo Choo droppable 3 outfielder league.
I'd have a hard time doing that. I'm not starting him.
I'm the low guy on him now. I'm pulling up the rankings. I have him 48th. Among outfielders, which sounds a lot worse than
that's droppable.
It sounds a lot worse than it is. I mean, it's ahead of Coco Crisp, Michael Moore, Starling Marte. But yeah, I would say in a 3 outfielder league, it's on the verge of being dropped.
Let's go 2 up, 4 down. 2 up number 1 is Billy Butler. He went 4-for-5 with a double and a home run at Arizona. He had 3 hits in his previous game, but he was very cold before that, but he was very hot before that. Everett Cabrera is 2 up number 2, 46% owned since coming off the DL, 7 games with a .345 batting average, 3 runs scored, and 3 steals. Butler, Cabrera, are they under-owned 55% and 46%?
I think Butler is just correctly owned. That strikes me as just right for him, but I think Cabrera is under-owned.
Cabrera or Javier Baez?
Baez.
Almost positive I've got Cabrera 1 or 2 spots ahead of him.
Oh, are
my
you,
gut,
Al?
My
top
gut
10?
Tells me. Yeah.
That's high. Al's the high guy.
You know what, though?
Your gut is wrong.
I'm wrong. I've got him 14th. What am I thinking of here?
You have Segura ahead of Baez, too, which surprises me.
I think what I want to do is flip Cabrera and Segura.
Yeah.
So I've got, they're 11, 12, and 14, so they're all pretty even.
Yeah.
All right, 4 down. Marcell Ozuna, 79% owned. Is he over-owned? Excuse me. Last 28 days, he's the number 87 outfielder in points leagues, number 107 in Roto, batting .195. But on the season, still a top 35 outfielder. Ozuna.
I think he's strictly a Roto type, so if you own him in a head-to-head points league, yeah. And I got 79% ownership, so I'd say a lot of people do. So that needs to be corrected.
Would you drop Ozuna for Will Venable?
No.
No, I wouldn't either.
Would you drop Ozuna for... Oh, wow. All these most added outfielders are so deep league. Kevin Kiermaier.
No way.
How about...
Just got a chuckle from me.
There's not one outfielder... Well, I'm looking at the free agents. Sorry, I should look at this list. Josh Reddick.
No. Although yeah. I do need to move Reddick.
I think I do. I think I am doing that.
We're still here,
okay,
by the way.
Sorry, I got distracted.
That was a lot of silence.
And actually, yeah, I double-checked my ratings. I actually do have Reddick ahead of Ozuna.
I don't have Reddick ranked at all. I need to fix that.
Eric Ibar is four down number two. Scott, you were like, I just feel like he's due for a slump. And you were very prescient because he is slumping like crazy. He's batting .233 in his last 30 games with 10 RBI, which is a big thing for him. Now, this is kind of funny. Eric Ibar, look at last year versus this year. Last year, .271, 6 home runs, 54 RBI, 12 steals. This year, .271, 6 home runs, 52 RBI, 12 steals. So the only difference is 2 runs batted in, but also 30 fewer games. And his slash line is nearly identical. So he's now dropped down to the number 9 shortstop in points leagues, number 8 in Roto, Ibar.
And I suspect he'll probably finish in the 8 to 13 range at shortstop. I actually have him ranked 13 from today forward. So still usable, but yeah, not near what he was doing before.
All right, Michael Morse. Did not start Monday or Tuesday. He's 81% owned. I was reading this morning. I don't know what paper that is. SFGate.com? It's not the Chronicle, is it?
I think it is Chronicle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
His swing is getting a little long because they said he's looking for home runs, trying to do too much at the plate. So they gave him a couple days to cool off. Last 50 games, batting .253 with 2 home runs and 8 RBI. So Michael Morse, like Ozuna, Michael Morse owned in the same amount of leagues. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I would rather have Morse.
I would too, but I'm shocked every time to see how low he is in the rankings, the way he started the season. Not in my rankings, but in what they've actually done. It's surprising to me. I can't think of who. There's some crazy names ahead of him. I want to look them up because they're cool, but I don't want to hold up the show. So keep going. I'll look them up.
All right, Brock Holt is 69% owned. Are we done with Brock Holt?
I'm not. I'm actually just viewing this as a slump because I was finally starting to see the potential in the speed, both for stolen bases as well as batting average.
So some players, Michael Morse is behind in points leagues. So Roto's probably his better format. But some players he scored fewer points than include Shin-Soo Chu, Rajay Davis,
wow.
Seth Smith. Ben Revere, and yeah, those are probably the most notable ones.
Would you rather have Brock Holt or Josh Harrison?
Josh Harrison. I actually get that question a lot.
Really?
Yeah. So I was ready with an answer.
Would you rather
Harrison?
Brock Holt or Solarte?
Holt.
Solarte. You did say Harrison though, right?
I did say Harrison.
Because I moved Harrison way up my rankings.
Yep.
Way up. Top 12 third baseman. Top 12 second baseman or close to it.
Rest of season, Josh Harrison or
13th
David second. Wright.
David Wright still.
David Wright, yeah.
Rotation time. Keuchel was good. Lincecum was good. Phil Hughes was really good. Lance Lynn is having a hell of a year. And he's a top 30 starting pitcher. Strikeouts are down a little bit from last year, but ERA is down as well, about a run. 289 ERA, 11-8. I'm actually surprised he's only 29th in points and 25th in Roto. Last 6 starts, got a 163 ERA. And Zach Wheeler, overall numbers aren't that good. He's he's like a top 60 starting pitcher this year, but 7 straight starts with somewhere between 6 6 2/3 innings and 1 earned run, except for one of those 7 starts, he allowed 2 earned runs. Wheeler and Lynn have been consistently good. Anything to say about Keuchel, Lincecum, Hughes, Lynn, or Wheeler?
Came across something sort of interesting for Lincecum yesterday because even though he had a couple of bad starts before this, the control has really been a lot better lately. And yet, over the last 30 days, he's one of 5 pitchers who has thrown fewer than 2 out of every 5 pitches in the strike zone and gotten fewer than 1 out of... Let me phrase this more directly here. 1/3 of the time on those pitches outside the strike zone, less than 1/3, he's getting swings on them. So he's still not actually really pitching with great control, and he's not really fooling people outside the strike zone, and yet for somehow the walks are down.
All right. Anything for you, Scotty White?
No.
Okay.
That sounded pretty good to me.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting to the point of the season where every show I try to look for guys to pick up that are going to have big finishes or something like that. But a lot of guys, like, we just kind of know who they are, right? I mean, 4 months.
Yeah.
So I try not to manufacture things, but...
No, and I do think it is worth bringing up Keuchel. We did mention before he's been a lot better. Last three starts. And I had gotten very concerned about him because, I kind of just rolled with the punches on him early on and didn't really understand why he was breaking out the way he was. So then when he fell off, it's like, okay, is this what he should have been doing all along?
I was in the same exact, I thought the same thing.
Yeah, but now I think the initial reaction to Keuchel's season is still appropriate.
All right, fringy starting pitchers here. Burley, Hamill, and Jesse Hahn are all owned in over 80% of leagues. Are those guys over-owned?
Yeah, I think all three are.
Rank them.
Hahn, Burley, Hamill.
Do you think Hahn, Burley, Hamill, are they all droppable for Jimmy Nelson?
Yes.
I like Hahn more still.
Than Jimmy Nelson?
Yeah, I do.
Where do you put Drew Smyly in that equation?
With those three, we're not talking about Jimmy Nelson? Because Smyly is ahead of all three for me.
What about Nelson?
Mm. He's behind him, and well behind him.
Smiley's well behind Nelson, or Nelson's well behind Smyly?
Smiley's well behind Nelson.
Okay, so
I've got Nelson as my number 12 RP right now.
Wow.
I think he's my fourth-ranked SPARP.
Wow, that's...
Smyly, I think, is fifth, but I've got a good distance between the two.
I have different... I think I have Burley ranked a little differently here, too, so I'm just going to rank them all for you, if that's okay.
Yeah, go. Go.
Hahn, Nelson, Hamill, Burley.
Smyly is where?
Oh, sorry. Hahn, Nelson, Hamill, Smyly, Burley.
And you still have hope for Hector Rondon?
Hope for him?
Sorry, for Ruby De La Rosa?
Yeah. Yeah, he's behind Nelson and Smyly, but he's... He's in the mix still.
And Hector Rondon blew a save yesterday. First earned run allowed since the All-Star break. Jacob Turner was DFA'd, as mentioned. Andrew Cashner is going to make a rehab start Friday. Expected back in about 2 to 3 weeks. Eugenio Suarez could be back today. Jacoby Ellsbury hurt his finger sliding back into first base, but he stayed in the game. Nick Swisher could be back today. He has a wrist issue. Dominic Brown remained out with an infection in his tonsils. Henry Mejia day-to-day with a tweaked back. Neil Walker returned to the lineup but left with back tightness, which is why he was out to begin with. Brad Peacock will be called up to start tonight against Philadelphia. Scooter Jeanette remained out, but Gene Segura came back. Alejandro De Aza was out with a sore knee. John Jay returned to the lineup and had the game-winning hit. You the man. And Michael Saunders could begin a rehab assignment on Thursday. So let's grade some trades.
Well, before that, though, guess who the most likely replacement is for Jacob Turner? Yeah, for Jacob Turner in the Marlins rotation. No.
Who?
Brad Penny.
Really?
Really.
Mm. So is Heaney coming up ever or what?
Would not appear because I haven't seen anything to indicate that he's likely a replacement, but there have been a couple of reports that Penny has a good chance.
Penny, right. For your thoughts.
Corey has a grade the trade. He says, hey, Billy, Henry, and Roger.
Billy... Henry, there's Billy Haywood from Little Big League, Henry Rowengardner from Rookie of the Year, and then Roger, I don't know his last name, but Angels in the outfield.
Dude.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
and Corey didn't even know his name. He wrote Roger What's-His-Name from Angels in the outfield. All right. He wants to win now in a 10-team category keeper league, so he gave up a $12 Jose Abreu. And Jose Quintana for Albert Pujols and Felix Hernandez to get a pitching upgrade, and he can't keep Pujols or Hernandez. So he gives up a $12 Abreu and Quintana for Pujols and Felix. Grade the trade.
B.
I'm sorry, I couldn't keep up with it. We don't have them in front of us.
A bunch of Jose's.
A bunch of Jose's. Okay, so... Do you want to repeat it, or do you just want to move
$12 on? Jose Abreu and Quintana for Pujols and Hernandez, Felix.
And they're expensive?
They're non-keepers.
It's a totally a play win play to for this year.
We're going to move on.
All right.
We're going to move on to a new trade here.
Good idea.
let's see. Dustin from Columbus, 12-team head-to-head points league. I trade Hanley, Cobb, and Pujols. give up Hanley, Cobb, and Pujols. Get Lester, Jason Hayward, Jeanette, and Chase Anderson.
Hmm.
See, I wrote it down this time.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I wrote it down.
That sounds like a D.
And I wrote it down, and it's making me want to hurl.
Yeah, it's not so good.
I'll give it a D plus. It's just because I'm the nice one.
Mark from Lehigh Valley. Dear Kevin, Russell, and Surge.
Russell and Surge.
10-team dynasty, 30-man rosters. Give up Segura and Ventura.
Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, Serge Ibaka.
At least I was on the right track, because nice, I'm like, dude, are they all Ibakas?
Sorry. 10-team dynasty league with 30-man rosters. I give up Gene Segura and Yordano Ventura. I get Hanley Ramirez.
Segura sounds like Ventura for
A-minus to me.
For this year.
There's keeper ramifications.
It's a keeper league, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I still think it's good. I'll give it a B plus.
One more here. Mark from New Jersey. Dear Nina, Pinta, and Santa Maria.
Ah.
I know that one.
Yeah.
14-team auction categories league. Give it up. Gio, Chu, Calhoun. Getting Wainwright, Josh Hamilton, and Springer. So giving up Gio Gonzalez, Shinsu Chu, Cole Calhoun, getting Wainwright, Hamilton, and Springer. Josh Hamilton.
I don't remember if this is a keeper league or not, but it doesn't matter.
It's an A. Or it's a good trade.
I'm going to go B plus.
Yeah, I'll go A minus.
Solid C plus show today, guys. Very well done.
As long as it's a win.
Yeah. C's average, so you guys, all of us, we were above average today.
Mm.
We strive to be the best that we can be.
When was an A show? What was an A show?
Not yesterday, because I listened to the beginning of yesterday's show, and we did talk about the Tigers outfield at the top of the show. And then
well, it's an F for me, and probably at least a C yeah. for everybody else then.
Now, I knew that, but I didn't want to, like, interrupt the flow.
Oh, okay. It was kind of funny looking back at it. Thanks for listening, everyone. No fantasy baseball today. Today, we are back tomorrow with another edition and Friday. Help you set your lineup for the following week. See you later.